Welcome to Heel, where women are talking business. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I am Elizabeth Gordon, and this is the Heel to Heel show, where we bring women together to talk about business, entrepreneurship, and success every week. I first want to thank our sponsor, Flourishing Business, for the broadcast today. And I'm excited to introduce you to my guest, Ms. Sarah Gaither, who is a banking officer at State Bank and Trust at the Marietta branch. Now, Sarah is a banking officer who deals with consumer and commercial deposits and lending. Prior to her current role, she was a private banker for Buckhead Community Bank. Sarah has an associate degree from Young and Harris College in business administration, as well as a bachelor's degree in business from Georgia College and State University. She lives in Cherokee County in Canton, Georgia, with her husband, Matt, and their two children, Ella and Reed. Welcome to the Heel to Heel show, Sarah. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I always figure who better to talk business with than the bank and the bankers behind the bank. So I want to give our listeners a sense today of what your role is in the bank and how you work with customers on a regular basis and give them some comfort in, you know, how does a banker think about a business when you're talking to a bank? How can you position your business in a way that's going to make it attractive? Because a bank is such a essential component to helping an entrepreneur to grow a business. Mm-hmm. You really need that relationship, but I find sometimes people can get intimidated by that. But you are not intimidating, and that's why I invited you into the studio with me today. So let's start with how you started in your career and how you got interested in banking in the first place.
Certainly. I have always thought I wanted to be a banker from a teenager on for some reason, because banking sounds kind of boring and why would a child want to be a banker? But I just remember opening my first savings account at a community bank where I grew up in small town Washington, Georgia, and did it on my own without the prompts of my parents. I had a little bit of cash and wanted to store it away so either my sister couldn't get it or I wouldn't spend it one. And from then on, it's always been about saving and just money, you know, cash in hand. And so I went to college knowing I wanted to do business and got my associates at Young Harris and then proceeded to get my undergrad in business admin. And while I was a senior there, I enlisted a bank to hire me as an intern. It was part of my final credits to get my degree in college, and the internship program did not have a bank or financial institution that was on board with them at the time. So I thought, well, you know, I can get one on board because I'm interested and I just want to work there before I know going out in the workforce to go out and seek that job. And so I did.
That was smart. So, you know, you've been in banking for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you've learned about money and business along the way? And how have you learned mm-hmm. those lessons?
Certainly a lot of it is by experience. I can remember my first job and not liking it very well, but that was because of the environment, one, and what I was doing, and then trying different new things. Failing was another, you know, getting turned down for a job or having somebody reprimand me for lack of detail has happened, but that's how you learn. And you go back and you do more research and you focus a little more on, the banking is very detailed world. So you really have to slow down. You can't just hurry through it. And then through mentors, I have lots of mentors at each institution that I worked at that were very established and experienced women. They were all women, strong women who have helped me grow my banking career.
Now, that's really interesting to hear because banking has been kind of a traditionally male-dominated mm-hmm. field. So I'm curious, in working and having the pleasure of having women mentors and seeing women take leadership roles, What have been some of the things that you've been able to garner from seeing strong women in positions of leadership and say, oh, I want to be more like that?
Yeah, certainly. At my prior institution, my old boss was not afraid to stand up for what she believed in, and she didn't back down, and that didn't hurt her any. I mean, she ran the private banking division at the bank and actually created that and was at SunTrust for 25 years prior to that, and she learned and grew from the bottom up, and she's very smart, but yet, you know, she's got that intuition that she's not going to back down because she knows her banking, and she wasn't going to back down from a lot of challenges that we had, and she won most of those fights. And so I realized that I could do that too. I don't have to have on pants to win a battle. I could still do it with a skirt on and just go for it and not be afraid to make decisions and speak my mind.
That's fantastic. And it is wonderful when you have those people in your life and your career that you can garner some of those important life and career lessons
Absolutely.
From. So what are some of the best practices that you've seen, either women in leadership roles or also probably some of your clients who are successful business leaders in their own right? What are some of the best practices that you've seen others use that have really aided them in continuing to grow and prosper in their career?
Certainly. Flexibility is a big part of that, because when you try to run one route and either it doesn't work or, you know, something just doesn't seem to fit, women are so versatile. I mean, we can just flip it around in a heartbeat and go a different route, and it doesn't scare us. You know, we're not just going back down. A lot of men, I feel like they get overwhelmed with the, oh, no, it didn't work, and then, you know, kind of depressed and self-absorbed. And anyway, but women just keep powering through that, and they're very flexible and diverse. You know, but they're also, I think, detailed oriented, but in a way, sometimes it can hurt us in a men led world, because men tend to make decisions immediately and women analyze those decisions, and it takes us a little bit longer. But in the long run, it may be the better decision that we made. And then those men who made the wrong decision are going to sit in the corner and pout. And the women are going to be like, well, now that I've analyzed the data, I know the exact way we need to go so we don't make that mistake. So.
Right. Well, there are such differences across the genders in how we, you know, look at life as well as look at business. And that's why it's so important to be able to have both perspectives at the table, at the boardroom, at the decisioning room.
Right.
Because they can look at the situation in a different light. I'm sure you've had great male mentors as well.
I have.
Throughout your career. So are there things that you've said, I'm glad that I learned that from that perspective in business?
I think a lot of the male mentors had the charisma and the, compassion. That there are two in particular that I can think of are very compassionate in talking to a client and understanding where they came from. And you wouldn't think that from a, you know, a male perspective, but they are. They understand and they're compassionate. And then they look for a way to think outside the box to get it done.
Okay. So empathy and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about State Bank and Trust, because it is one of the most well-capitalized banks in the country. You guys are in a great position today, and there's been a lot of talk about the banking environment in general over the last couple of years. Tell us about the bank.
Certainly. Our CEO and president is Joe Evans, who's been a longtime banker, 25, 30 years has been in the banking world. And it's actually said that State Bank has set a footprint for community banks out there who want to succeed and then actually purchase institutions from the FDIC and maybe other banks that aren't being taken over but are in a position to be sold. And that the way State Bank has gone about doing that has been commended by the FDIC.
Nice. So really an acquisition model that's really built a very sound institution.
Exactly. They're ready to hit the ground running as soon as it's you know, the word is out, Friday at 4 o'clock, State Bank's taking over. They're in there. They have the marketing materials ready to go. They have the employee HR packets, you know, ready to hand out for those who get to stay. They're just very prepared, and they have a meeting, you know, that first weekend with all the employees to let them know what to expect. So they have some things in place ahead of time and through the experience of a lot of the acquisitions that they've had.
Now, it's a very different branch, the Marietta branch on the square that you work out. I've had the pleasure of being inside the office, and it's a very different environment than kind of your traditional bank. Mm-hmm. How do you think the culture of the organization is different from some of the other financial institutions out there?
I think it's very friendly-oriented, friendly and family, as I meant to say family, because they do cultivate back to the customer, and they want to seek out the customers and who they are and then get back involved into what they believe in. So a lot of our customers we have sponsored in the businesses, we've sponsored in different events, the nonprofits we have, and then just getting to know them and on a personal level. And then it is family oriented because some of the employees are part of the family that the executives have here and there in different branches. And so it really is a super community bank. It's family oriented and community spirit with a big mega bank product.
Right. So as you build relationships with your customers, it feels like a relationship. It feels like they're becoming kind of part of the family.
It does. Yeah, we want to connect with them in a way, you know, either we both have kids or whatnot. Just sit down and ask questions about that person, not necessarily their financials, although that plays into effect, but also their family life plays into what kind of products and services might suit them better. If they can't get to the bank necessarily, we'll come to them.
Right. Well, it's always been my opinion that it's the role of the bank to help customers become and businesses become more well off, more wealthy. You're there to help them build their portfolio mm-hmm. of assets. So as you look at dealing with business owners, how do you grow the business? A lot of times that's going to require some kind of a loan product and a deepening of the banking relationship. So I want to give people a sense of, you know, what's the process involved in getting a commercial loan? And if you're looking at a business that, you know, maybe it's a $150,000 business and your goal is to get it to $1.5 million over the next 10 years or so, or maybe you've got a $2 or $3 million business and you want to grow that to a $200 or $300 million business. That involves developing a relationship with the bank and probably undergoing several different assessments of commercial lending products and all of that. So what's the process of helping someone get a loan and fitting them into the right product?
Certainly. Let's take it from an existing business standpoint. That's a little easier than starting your new
right.
a new business. But theoretically, you would have been in business for 2 or 3 years, and it would be flourishing a little bit where you were maybe wanting to either get more employees or have more equipment, new computers, whatnot. You need to go in with a plan. Like, what do you want to use our money for? Because just treat it like you're borrowing money from your best friend. You do have to sell them a little bit.
Right, on why this is a good idea
yeah,
for both of you.
Exactly, because, you know, we expect it to be paid back, and you may lose something if you don't. And so go in, you know, bring your passion and show your character off and have your plan in place. We want to know why you're using the money, what conditions are these funds going to be used towards, and then actually price it out, itemize it out so we can see what our money is going towards. And that's an important part, but not also that. We want to see that you have the capacity and the capital to pay it back, and that involves past and future. So we want to see where you came from, how much money you generated, what do you have in your hand right now, because in 30 days from now, we're going to want to check. For
right.
that, you
got to
have
on that level.
Yeah, so we want to make sure you've got that money in the bank to pay us 30 days later, and then that you've got the income every 30 days to keep that up. So that's the hardest part. And then the next thing is collateral. And a lot of times the collateral will be what you wanted to use the funds for. So if you're needing extra equipment, then that's going to probably be our collateral. We're going to take that And collateral is simply so that if you default on the loan, we have the right to come and get that. And a lot of people can relate that to an auto loan. You know, we'll repossess your auto if you're a consumer. Well, the same thing goes for a business. We'll come take whatever collateral is attached to that loan if you don't pay it back. And that's the extreme measure, and it takes a while for that to even happen. But you don't want to lose that either. So you've got to have a lot of plans in place. And then also think about a second way out. You know, if you can't pay us back, or maybe if we don't even lend you the $100,000 that you needed, we only lent you $50,000, would you be able to get another $50,000 or make another $50,000 with our help? You know, if maybe we can meet you in the middle. So have a plan B to go into it also, because then that shows us you've got the character and integrity to stay alive and keep your business flourishing.
Now, when you're making decisions on a loan, how many people within the bank have to look at all of those aspects of the package and the business in order to make that decision?
That is a very good question, because it has changed significantly in the last year or two with the down economy. Before, most loan officers may have $100,000 or even up to $300,000 that they could sign on themselves. You came in, we've had a relationship, we could give you a loan on the spot right there. That's been taken away from lenders that you meet these days. And the ones that have the authority to do that, you're not going to see face-to-face. It may take 3 or 4 meetings, and even then you may not see those decision makers. So there are quite a few opportunities for the loan officer who should be your advocate for your business, who should understand it front and back as well as you do, so that they can go and tell the next person in line, this is why I think we should do this, this is the person and who I believe in, and this is the business. And that banker is going to be your advocate, and you've really got to sell them.
Okay, so the person that you're meeting with right up front is not necessarily the end decision maker, mm-mm. but you need to arm that person to be able to be
exactly.
your best salesperson.
Yeah, they're going to be your
internally.
Salesperson, absolutely. And a lot of times there's a loan committee. If you're talking even over $300,000, community banks have a loan committee where there are board members and executives in that loan. There will be 3 or 4 people that have to actually sign off on the deal and believe it. And it's all coming from your word, the banker's word, and the write-up that they've written about, you know, your financials. They don't see your tax returns, just the banker. But the banker has to analyze that and present it in a positive way to get that loan, you know, sold to the bank.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the, let's start here. What's the worst thing somebody can do when they walk into a bank and they're looking to get a loan?
Oh, yeah. Just come in and think that we can take their collateral and that's all we need. We get a lot of that where people just say, well, you know, I don't have, my home is free and clear, and I'll just, you know, give you the deed to my home and then you can give me $300,000. Well, the bank's not in the real estate business, no matter what people think. Right now, these days, we are feeling like we are selling that real estate, but we don't want to really own your home.
Right.
You know,
that's the worst case scenario
yeah,
for both parties
it is.
Involved.
Mm-hmm. And we're not experts at selling homes. We want you to pay it back. We want you to grow, want your business to do well so that you can ultimately pay us back and not owe us a thing.
Right. Absolutely. So with that in mind, give us some tips for having a great banking relationship. What are some of the business owners that you work with that you have a wonderful relationship, you've continued to be able to renew their facility or even increase it?
Mm-hmm.
How can people develop that kind of great banking relationship?
Definitely. I think the most important thing is being open and communicating. Tell us when things are not going so well so that we can kind of start talking with you and preparing with you. Maybe you already have a loan and then we've got to get it renewed or something, because most business loans are 12 months and then we want to renew it for you. And they're 12 months so that it forces us to reanalyze your financials and look at your business philosophy. So if you know things are not going so well, both on deposit side and lending side, it's important to let your banker know, because we can do things to help you on the deposit side. One, if we know you need to be covered for maybe a day or two on a check that you've written to pay a vendor, but you know you have a sale that's coming in, that banker can actually pay that check and may even waive the fee if you're upfront with them and you're a good customer. And good customers are ones that we see, or not necessarily see, but communicate with a lot, and in just being open. And you've got to have a relationship if you want to get that loan. It's really hard to know your business in one meeting for somebody that's never met you.
Right. You know? Well, the consistency of the communication, I think, is, yeah, obviously it's important in every well-working relationship, be it professional or personal.
Yes.
So, but it's funny because a lot of times people only call in, you know, a crisis. Or, you know, with the advent of everything, you know, online banking and ATM machines.
Right.
Oftentimes, you know, you can go months and months without ever seeing or talking to a banker.
That's true. And actually, we have another product that many community banks use, and it's where you make your deposits virtually as well.
Oh, right.
And you don't have to come in. And we promote that because it gives you time to focus on your business, and then it relieves sort of the back-end employees that are needed for the bank. So it's a win-win. But, you know, there's always a telephone when things are going bad. But speaking of when you don't think of a bank until you need them, I did have a business client who is in the roofing business, and things are going great. You know, got all these storms in Georgia, and they're getting money left and right. But they stay in contact with me because they're constantly growing their business. And, you know, they said, hey, you know, we may or may not kind of think we might want to just get a loan just because. And I said, you know, that's when you do it. When your business is going well, that's a slam dunk for the bank. We'll be glad to give you a line of credit. And then don't use it. You don't have to pay interest if you don't use the loan, but have it available. And then when things do go bad, or when you're ready to grow the business, the money's right there in hand.
That's a really good tip. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Being proactive and having those lines of communication open, especially when things are going well.
Mm-hmm.
So the bank is thrilled to be able to extend you the money once you've shown, hey, if you give me money, I can make it. I can make more of it.
Right.
I pay it back.
And we don't care that you don't use it. I mean, that doesn't hurt us any, but at least you have shown us that credit and that record that you were able to get in the first place. And then just to touch on businesses who are startups, I actually closed a loan earlier this month for a startup business. Now, it was his second or third different entity and completely different line of work, but I could show his prior life that he made a business succeed, and he's ready to sell it, and he's going to make a profit off of it. However, the new business doesn't have any tangible assets for us to take. So what we did was take a second on the home that he lived in, and that was enough to hire the employees he needs, you know, get a few assets to make the business work. And then I know, you know, in 3 years, that loan will be paid off and he won't need it anymore. Maybe he'll want to grow it again or start a new business. So it is available out there for startups as well.
Okay, good to know. And having a proven track record behind you helps a lot.
Your past is always going to support what we're going to give you in the future.
Right. Well, that's, you know, that's sort of the nature of the business, is being able to use the past as an indicator for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some other, when you talk about great customers for the bank and businesses that you've been able to see, the bank has really helped this business grow by being able to give them money when they needed to reinvest in the business. How often are you talking to those kinds of customers, and what kind of conversations are you having with them?
Certainly. I would think that we're talking to them at the least once a month. And those are good customers that use us frequently. Their employees come in and cash their checks. You know, we're talking to them about just daily maintenance on their account, you know, for deposits. Their loans are set. You know, they're just making payments on that. Once the loan is approved, you really don't think about it again.
Right.
But then the customer comes back for deposit needs, maybe merchant services, which is, you know, credit card processing. Those needs come up. They do call if there's a problem or a wire. You know, so we are talking to them at least once a month, and that's kind of the relationship part, too, because you get to know them, and it's not on a yearly basis, so you don't know what's going on in their lives.
Right. Again, being proactive with the communication. Now, I know that State Bank and Trust is really building the relationship within the local community in Marietta. And you were telling me a little bit about some of the things that you've been involved in the community. Talk a little bit more about that.
Certainly. I'm a new Kiwanis member. I'm excited about that. And the bank is fostering a spirit of community involvement. And our goal for 2012 is Run for 2012. So we're sponsoring a lot of 5Ks and 1Ks. But specifically back in Marietta, Kiwanis has a flag project, and they're looking to set out 200 flags six times a year. And the most impact is probably during 9/11, where they're putting those flags at the bottom of Kennesaw Mountain, and they're looking for a prestigious speaker for that event. And it's going to be exciting, and the bank is actually purchasing some flags for that as well. So it's fun to be able to have the money to do that and not have to fork it out myself, which I would do also. But the bank can afford more than one flag, so
right.
We're going to do that also.
It's fun to be part of a prospering institution. Absolutely.
Is.
Well, Sarah, this has been wonderful. You've given a lot of great ideas and advice to our listeners today. We have our regular Chic Tip segment where I ask all of my listeners to share one really great piece of advice that they would pass on to aspiring businesswomen out there. So what's your chic tip for us this afternoon?
Mine's not so much on banking, since we focused on that this last 30 minutes, but it's more on when you go to a networking meeting or a social or a civic meeting. There are three things that I try to accomplish when I go into a big group of people. And the first one is that I want to find somebody and compliment them, just, you know, make them feel good about themselves. And the next person I want to do is meet at least one new person at a meeting that I don't know. And the third is I want to leave that meeting with at least one appointment or one commitment to make an appointment with a phone call afterwards. So I have, you know, three things that I try to do when I go out and meet new people. And it's not to find out about their banking or their finances. It's to make them feel good, make myself feel good by meeting someone new, and then leaving with one appointment for the future.
That's great, and it's wonderful to have those kinds of objectives set in front of you so you can make sure that you're consistently reaching your goals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that probably has come through working for a bank and kind of seeing the benefit of detail-oriented work and what happens when you set an action plan in place. And I know you've had a number of great mentors and advisors along the way as well. So what would you advise a woman who would be interested in getting into the banking field?
Certainly. You know, don't be afraid to start from the ground up. If you find a teller position, maybe you're young or old, it doesn't matter, but be willing to go in at an entry-level position, because those tellers are the ones that learn the most out of the deposits and money. There's so many transactions that happen that it will teach you about debits and credits and products and services. So it's all about learning the products and services of the bank, but then the inner workings also happens in the teller side. So don't be afraid to start at the entry level and then work your way up. And if you're a positive person and, you know, a strong worker, it won't take you long to get up to branch manager or lending if you want to do that, and really try different areas of the bank to see what fits you best.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your chic perspective on banking and business with us today. Where can people find State Bank and Trust or get in touch with you if they have banking needs that they'd like to talk about?
Great. Our website is www.statebt.com for State Bank and Trust. So it's statebt.com. And then I am in Marietta off of Church Street, just down from the square. You can call me. I'm at 678-460-5973. And we have branches in Buckhead and Midtown and Sandy Springs and Norcross and Alpharetta. So come visit any of our branches and go online also.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thanks again. And I look forward to seeing what else comes out of your very successful career. We need lots of bankers out there to help make businesses grow.
Thank you.
Well, folks, this is the end of another great Heel to Heel show. Thanks again for tuning in, and thanks to our sponsor, Flourishing Business, an advisory firm for entrepreneurs. We will talk to you next week here on Heel to Heel, where women are talking business.